Today, Attorney General John Ashcroft had a long talk with senators. He emerged saying he was deeply concerned with the slow pace of anti-terrorism legislation. The bill Ashcroft proposed would increase government power in areas such as detaining suspects and conducting searches. Other officials say the administration is fairly pleased with a version negotiated by two House leaders. NPR's Barbara Bradley reports.
Immigrant advocates breathed a half sigh of relief when they saw the House compromise in the anti-terrorism bill. Jean Butterfield, who heads the American Immigration Lawyers Association, says it's better than the administration proposal, but it still contains landmines that could harm immigrants. Take the definition of terrorist activity, which makes immigrants deportable. Currently, terrorist activity means using weapons like biological agents and explosives. Under both of the proposals, terrorist activity is expanded to include the use of any object with the intent to harm a person or property.
You can throw a rock through a window with the intent of causing damage to property and be considered a terrorist under a literal reading of this definition. I think that's overly broad.
She and others note there are improvements. For example, there was concern that the Ashcroft bill took away power from the courts to review actions in, say, holding immigrants indefinitely. Under the House version, the government would have to charge an immigrant with a crime within 7 days of detaining him, and he could appeal the charges to a federal court. And then there's what Georgetown University law professor David Cole calls the guilt by association provision. Under the Ashcroft version, if an immigrant contributes to any group that espouses violence, that person is deportable. The House version bars participating only in designated terrorist groups, but Cole says it's still too broad.
So all the government would have to show is that you engaged in some activity that a member of a group would engage in. You paid dues, you raised money, you solicited other people to become members, you've donated your time, and they would not have to show that you did any of those things in furtherance of a terrorist activity.
Robert Litt, who worked in the Clinton Justice Department, says many of the changes are long overdue, such as allowing criminal investigators and intelligence investigators to share information. But Litt also worries that the FBI is given too much latitude to get information without being monitored by the Justice Department or the courts. Under current law, the FBI can get the phone records of someone it suspects is an agent of a foreign power. The new proposals add emails.
And it also eliminates the requirement that the person actually be an agent of a foreign power, and just if the FBI says this is part of a foreign intelligence investigation. This will allow them to get a lot of people's telephone and email records without even having to go to the Department of Justice for approval on this.
He's also concerned that the proposals make it easier to use secret search warrants and wiretaps in regular criminal cases, warrants that are much easier to get and harder for a defendant to fight in court because they're secret. For its part, the administration believes the House version is too restrictive. According to one source, it especially dislikes the part that says the government has to prove the attacker intended to influence the government in order to be considered a terrorist. Stephen Salzberg is on the American Bar Association's Task Force on Terrorism.
You have to get inside the head of a lawbreaker, inside the head of a bomber, and find out whether they're bombing because they like the bomb or whether they're bombing because they're trying to influence the government. And that may not be the best way to draw the line.
And finding the right line will be the stuff of political debate for at least a few more days. Barbara Bradley, NPR News, Washington.